from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You made it. You made it to 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, which is very significant in NFL circles because right now is roster cutdown day. So all these teams need to go from 95 players to 53 players. So there's a lot of cuts, going on. And then guys are going to be claimed on waivers, and then guys are going to get cut again. So it's like a multiple-day process. It is 4 o'clock, very important question, because I was deeply concerned for him. I was at Jets-Giants on Saturday night, and I am a very caring guy. Very caring guy.
Are you?
Oh, I'm caring. I felt bad for Tommy DeVito. DeVito was getting physically assaulted on a football field in front of my children. And I had to explain, well, you know, he's got the pocket presence of a child. The offensive line is hot garbage, but don't worry, it's backups. Oh. It's not real starters. And poor Tommy DeVito was like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah, I haven't seen an Italian like that get waxed in Joe Pesci and Goodfellas.
I think DeVito might be the answer.
That's you. Yeah, he's the answer. He's the answer to a trivia question. Who's the quarterback half of the town fell in love with?
Who's the quarterback that prevented the Giants for 15 years of Drake May?
That too. Is he still on the Giants or are they going to cut his ass?
Okay, so Tommy DeVito has made the initial 53-man roster.
Congratulations.
However, this from Pat Leonard and now, you know, Giants speculations running rampant. Tommy DeVito, after making the 53, was requested today but was not made available to the media, making people go Brian Windhorst style. Now, why is that?
Oh.
And there's some thought out there. The Giants may not be done post-cutdowns with all these trades going on, too, with their quarterback room.
Well, there's a lot of turnover at the quarterback position right now. We're seeing a lot of guys being cut, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. I think like 900 guys in total are being cut. Yeah. I don't think Jameis Winston's been cut, but there are rumors that Winston could be traded. We talked yesterday about Mike White.
Yep.
There's a handful of guys that are available.
Zappy cut.
Bailey Zappi was cut. Yeah, so I guess the Giants could rearrange the back of their quarterback room. And I have to tell you, I like Tommy DeVito. I sort of fell in love with him last year. They need to cut him, and they need to cut him immediately. You want me to tell you why?
Why?
Tommy Lou Gowen. There are guys like Tommy that still believe in him, and he will be a cloud hanging over this franchise as long as he's here.
I mean, yes and no.
Yes and no.
Lou Gowen has ruined DeVito for me.
I think you've ruined Tommy DeVito.
Not only do I believe in him, not only do I stand with Tommy DeVito, not only do I support my man TD. So as we talked about, I was in Nashville over the weekend, so I admittedly was mentally checked out with sports.
Yeah.
In our group chain, I won't say who, somebody basically wrote, I don't know if Tommy DeVito's going to survive this game. And I didn't check in on it to the point where I asked Evan before the show, I go, is everything okay with Tommy?
Like, By the way, I think it's okay. The person who tweeted that or texted that was Tiki Barber.
Yeah.
He was deeply concerned for the health of Tommy DeVito.
I was getting tweets about it. I'm like, oh my God, is DeVito getting his ass kicked in this game?
Oh, he was.
But guess what? He did survive it. Because you know why? He's tough and he's got a lot of heart. And that's why he should be the week one starter against the Vikings.
No.
I'm not going to back off on that. The idea that you think he should be cut is ridiculous.
Dude, he should not be the week one starter. He may not even be on a roster week one in the NFL.
It's possible. Though I would take him not on the Jets roster, but on the practice squad. Because the Jets need a quarterback. I don't think they're going to carry a third quarterback on their 53. I don't think that's a legitimate thing with them. But I do think they need someone just in case the injured Aaron Rodgers coming off an Achilles or the injured Tyrod Taylor gets hurt.
You found the one team in the NFL that Tommy DeVito will not land on.
The Jets?
Tyrod Taylor left the Giants because he didn't want Tommy DeVito breathing down his neck.
But he's not breathing down his neck with the Jets. He'd be on the freaking practice squad where anybody could take him.
Where he was last year with the Giants. Tyrod Taylor literally did not go back to the Giants in all likelihood because he didn't like the way they handled DeVito.
Sean, I can promise you something. I can promise you this. As much as the Jets have mishandled quarterback situations over the years, if something happened to Aaron Rodgers, just a tiny bit, if something happened to Aaron Rodgers, Tyrod Taylor's the starter. Like, the difference between the Giants and Jets was that there was a part of us saying, hey, let's see what this kid's got. Season's not going anywhere. The Jets have you know, they better win or bust on their heads.
Until Tyrod Taylor does what he always does the moment he gets a chance, gets hurt two plays in, and then DeVito plays well, wins you two games, and then Salah's sitting there going, oh, boy, what do I do?
Could you imagine that? Imagine sitting here in November with that happening.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me. I think I need a sip of water. In the meantime, let's go to Adam in Connecticut. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Adam, I'm doing well. Evan's coughing up a lung.
I'm choking.
No worries. So I just wanted to touch on the Soto thing. Sean, I thought actually the point that you made, because you think about it logistically, right? When you think about the contracts, how many like $30 million a year contracts the Yankees have. Right. If you're like your point that you made about them being tapped out is the reason, and a diehard Mets fan, by the way, I should have prefaced that, but that's one of the biggest reasons why I think it's going to be very difficult, no matter how many times the rational or irrational Yankee fan could say that there's no way he's leaving. That's what Hal is thinking about, really, when it comes down to it. Like, you have Stanton, you have Cole, you have Rodon, you have Judge.
Sure.
And then you're adding Soto's contract to that. How logical is that actually going to be when it really comes down to it? Because
at the
end of the day...
Let me just say this. Hal isn't an idiot, right? We can all agree he's not an idiot. Cashman's not an idiot. We may disagree with some of the moves. They traded for Juan Soto for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
They know that Steve Cohen has endless pockets. They knew that Steve Cohen was going to be in on it. There is no way that there was zero discussion made, hey, we're comfortable losing him to the Mets after. They know they have to be the highest
pick. I don't know if you did this. We were not working together at the time, but I do remember a few people saying this, and it always boggled my mind. I remember BT saying this. I remember a buddy of mine named AJ saying this, where they wanted to keep Aaron Judge, but there was a line. There was a red line of, hey, I can't go past this amount of years or this amount of money. It was mostly years. I don't think it was ever money. And me and Big Mac were on the same side. We were like, he's your guy. Even if you have to go to an area that makes you uncomfortable, you have to go there. How could you lose Aaron Judge over an 11th year? Who cares? That's 2033.
Okay.
Is there a red line with Juan Soto?
No, and I think they're completely different cases. I do believe there should have been a red line with Aaron Judge, though I understand why you had to bring him back. He was still an oft-injured older player, and Juan Soto is the rare free agent at this age with basically no injury history in place every day.
Sorry.
Are you going to survive?
Yeah, I'm choking a little bit. I got a little phlegm.
Basically the August Mets right now.
Oh, that wasn't right.
What do you mean it wasn't right?
Because you're implying that the August Mets are choking, which they are not. They're right in the thick of things. One would say spitting distance from the Braves.
Shut up. I'm okay now.
All right, good.
So there is no red line with Juan Soto.
Yeah, I don't even remember what I said. I just felt your phlegm on my face.
No, I apologize for that. I just remember that being a thing with Aaron Judge, and I would argue with people saying, really? Like, 8 years, you're good.
But the injury history.
But no, I get that they're different. No doubt. Aaron Judge had more of an injury history. But I always found it funny that that would be the thing to stop you. Like, in eight years, I'm good. 9 years, I have a problem. So if the Mets offered Soto what I laid out, and if you're just tuning in, what I laid out is 15 years, $750 million. That may sound absurd off the top. It's $50 million a year. It's a 15-year contract for a guy who's 25. It's basically saying I'm going to pay this elite-level offensive player $50 million a year until he's 40 years old. Okay.
Right.
Would you be okay matching that? You get the call from Scott. Scott says, look, here's the deal, guys. Don't want to mess around. Juan loves it here. We have an offer of 15 years, $750 million. I'm even going to tell you where it's from. He'll say yes if you match it, but you got to match it. Are you willing to go that far?
15 years, $751 million. Let's get it done right now.
Wow, okay.
All prices right you.
I wonder if Hal would go that far. I think there's a red line. I think there's a red line. There was a red line with Judge. And I just wonder what that red line is and if another team, in this case the Mets, would be willing to just jump over that red line.
But see, I just said something. I'm curious. You really think when they made this move for Soto, and I know, because Hal admitted during the season he wanted to open up negotiations. We all knew that was crazy or whatever. Yeah. You really think when they made that move there wasn't any, hey, you know, it's 1 year. It's going to look bad if we let him walk. You think they didn't know that the Mets would be
I think they know the risk involved, but they also wanted to win this year. They got him for a year with a chance to win a world championship.
I think they want to win this year, but I also think they knew, hey, push come to shove. Hal, we have a blood. They're going to go all out for Soto.
Let's go to Jeff in Manhattan. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Guys, two things. First thing is, there's a team here that I think is a sleeper in the Juan Soto thing. Baltimore. These people that have a young core, they have a ton of money, and they're in the East Coast.
Yeah. No, and they have a brand new owner who's a billionaire who would like to make that kind of leap. Yeah.
And imagine him with Gunner and that Holiday kid.
Yeah. So I'm not going to disagree with you on it. Like, why the hell not? I think every team should be in on Juan Soto. Like, literally every baseball team, if they're worth a dime, should be in on a guy who's 25 years old. I don't care if you're rebuilding. If you're rebuilding, yeah. I'd say I got a 25-year-old. So you can name the team, and I would agree with you. They should be in on Juan Soto. You know who really should be in on Juan Soto? How about this one? The Washington Nationals. Mm-hmm. They should be in on Juan Soto.
Wasn't he asked about that yesterday, about coming back? Yeah, yeah. I think he said, if they're the highest bidder, something like that.
Yeah, I'll go to Vegas. I mean, right. If they're the highest bidder.
Sure.
So I think every team should go after him. I wonder if this new owner is going to prioritize giving a mega contract to another player as opposed to, A, keeping Corbin Burns, right. Which is pretty damn important.
And Anthony Santander.
Anthony Santander, who's a free agent, no doubt. Guy who, that's a good fit for the Mets, by the way, next year.
Tony Taters, they're calling him.
I like Tony Taters. I remember 2 years ago I proposed Carlos Carrasco for Tony Taters. I thought that was a fair trade. Cookie for Taters. But I am skeptical that in lieu of not paying all of their young guys that they're going to have to pay at some point and paying Corbin Burns, mm-hmm. that they would pay Juan Soto. So it's a good idea, but I don't know. I think it's going to really be what we think it's going to be.
It's going to be a New York tussle.
Yeah. That's going to be fun.
Merry Christmas, Ev.
It's all, all the pressure's on you. Pressure's not on us.
I hope Soto signs with the Yankees around 8 p.m. Christmas Eve.
You think it's going to ruin my Christmas?
Oh, I love it.
Nothing will match the feeling I got when DeGrom left. That was the...
That's different.
I don't think people fully understand. And I know every Met fan is different. Like, I'm sure maybe there are some Met fans who would say, oh, my God, this is ruining my Christmas. I'd love for them to sign the player. I think it'd be amazing. But losing your own... Like, put it this way. I'm going to talk crazy to you. Tell me if I'm right here on this, Loogie. Again, Juan Soto's amazing. He's better. I will probably have a harder time losing Pete Alonso than I will losing Juan Soto.
Yeah, no, of course.
Because definitely. He's our guy. Yeah,
you have an emotional attachment to. If Juan Soto signs 9 p.m. Christmas, it's only going to ruin it for one person, Pete Hoffman, because he's going to have to do a Rico Brown. You would have an emergency Rico.
That is true.
No, yes. It's a Wonderful Life. We got to record a podcast.
That is true. There will be a Rico that night.
Oh. Speaking of, you wouldn't do that to Hoffman.
No, I would. Speaking of Rico Brogna, because of this big series against the Diamondbacks, we will be doing live Ricos immediately following tonight's game and tomorrow night's game. So if you're up late...
Another day, Evan, can't just take off.
This is the Rico Brogna Podcast.
Take off. It's a big series against the Diamondbacks.
So why are you here tomorrow? You should prioritize Evan and Tiki.
Because I get to spend all day with my family as opposed to at 1 a.m. turning on a microphone for a half hour.
I hate to break this one to you, Charlie. All the Rico Bronias are live.
Yeah. Who said it wasn't?
You just said we're going to do live Rico Bronias, did you not? They're live on YouTube.
No,
did you know that?
They're always live on YouTube, but live after the game, as in, like, right after the game. That's what I'm really trying to say.
Also more like an instant reaction kind of thing.
You're right. They're all live. You could also download the podcast if you're not watching live.
So all three nights live?
So
what's a day game?
The first two will be right after the game. The third one, which is Thursday afternoon, probably going to be a DVR day.
Somebody hide the Casamigos from Hoffman.
Spending some time with the familia, so that'll be a late night one as well. So very big series, so very, very special. But yes, to answer your question, if Juan Soto signs on Christmas Eve, we're potting.
You cannot do that to Hoffman.
Yeah.
He's got kids, there's clams and shrimp everywhere.
He'll gladly do that podcast. You think he's not going to want to do that podcast?
You know what? Then Pete Hoffman's a better employee than me. If you texted me on Christmas Eve and said, Shawnee, put down the calamari and the Dos Equis, the answer would be, go scratch.
No, hold on. Let me give you a better comparison, because I don't think that's a great comparison.
Okay.
4th of July. 4th of July, you're at the barbecue. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
It's going to sound absurd, but just stick with me, please.
All right.
4th of July, this upcoming year, breaking news, Tom Brady coming out of retirement to be the quarterback of the New York Giants the following season. Do you not leave your barbecue and do a live, whatever you call your podcast?
Don't belittle it. It's called One Giant Step.
One
New
Giant
episode
Step
comes tonight.
Something like you, and I know that's crazy. I'm not even saying you'd be excited about it, but like something amazing. Or, dare I say, you know what? I'll better it. I'll do Christmas. Giants are having a bad year. I got it. This one's a lot better. It's a lot more realistic. Christmas Eve,
breaking news, Giants have fired Brian Daboll. He's being replaced immediately with Bill Belichick. Are you doing a podcast at 9?
8 a.m. December 26th. You'll get my thoughts.
That's lazy.
I don't care how lazy it is. That's I prioritize lazy. Family.
Oh, stop. Listen, I'm prioritizing my family. They could take 20 minutes to have a break to talk about Juan Soto.
And by the way, I would question everything I thought about John Mara if he's fired Brian Daboll on Christmas Eve.
Imagine that.
Man's got a family.
I'm just trying to give you the best example.
I understand that.
To see what you would do.
No. Holidays are holidays.
This is why your podcast, while good, will never take the next step.
That's probably...
You needed to take one giant step. Maybe you should have, I get the play on words, maybe it should have just been one small step. You didn't have to go giant because you don't really take that next step.
You're not taking the next step. You're taking step, but you got to show commitment to the audience. The audience wants to know that you, the face of Giant fans, and I think he's growing to become that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. By the way, I'll give you some advice, Luke. If that happens on Christmas Eve, fire up a podcast. You'll be the new face of Giant fans.
I hate to say this. Hey, shut up, first of
all. I love to stare people in the front and the back. Just know that.
I don't want to belittle the audience. Again, you can download One Giant Step Free in the Odyssey app. If you are searching for a podcast on Christmas Eve night and Christmas morning.
But Shawnee, in that scenario, though, if Belichick's coming back or Brady, I think you have to break glass there and do a podcast. Yeah, as much as I like to make fun of Evan.
I guess not everybody celebrates Christmas Eve and Christmas too.
No, well, it's not even
a... It's a huge thing.
It's a huge thing.
But it's not...
You see, I'm coughing.
So Sean, what I would say...
Here's a comp. Making me rethink my career crying out loud.
Here's a comp. If you're doing news radio and a former president dies on Christmas, you don't go, I wish he kicked the bucket 3 days later.
Yeah.
You have to do news.
And by the way...
We're in the news business.
Yeah, keep in mind, anybody at 1010 wins, if you're on the air, Jimmy Carter, Christmas Eve, sorry, that's not my problem. But I'm telling you, I'm dictating... Jeez. My podcast.
Yeah, but you're showing a lack of commitment. That's all. It's okay.
Can I defend Sean here? Or at least try to?
Nobody asked you to.
I'm asking.
If you do, then I'm going in the wrong route.
All right. Not everyone is going to be listening to podcasts on Christmas Eve anyway.
We all agree with that.
So him waiting to the next morning isn't that bad.
Yeah, even like 3 p.m. Christmas afternoon.
It's not that bad.
What about everyone that wants to... We're talking about major, major stories. We're not talking about something small. Juan Soto signing with the Mets or leaving is major. Bill Belichick taking over as the Giant head coach is major, and it would be shocking if it happened on Christmas. So I think you got to turn the microphone on immediately.
There's only one person on this planet that can't take an off day on Christmas. Santa Claus. Santa's got to work that day.
Everyone else is fair game.
It's just you have to work if you have to work.
Or you don't care that much.
My life has changed with young kids. Okay. I don't think my wife would appreciate me breaking down Bill Belichick on Christmas night.
No, my wife wouldn't either, but she understands. Like, she wouldn't love it, but she'd understand. By the way, real quick, your baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. This is a good question. You guys ready for this one? I like this one. Name the four teams the New York Yankees have never faced in the postseason.
All right, can I name them?
No. Right now, we'll take caller number 3 at 866-540-WFAN to answer the baseball IQ trivia question. And you could win a $250 American Express gift card. Your baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. It's amazing to think about. There are 29 teams in baseball not named the Yankees. Obviously, the 30, you take the Yankees away. They have played 25 of the 29 teams in a postseason series. Let that sink in. There's only 4 that they've never faced.
That's
and
crazy.
And that on its surface is amazing. Isn't that amazing, Susan?
That they have not faced the amount of team. Never mind, I'm going too long-winded.
Yeah, you go long-winded. That's okay. It was a good try, though.
I try.
You gave up. You knew when to hold them and knew when to fold them.
Yeah. You know what? I'll deliver that to you on a podcast Thanksgiving night.
There you go. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Jim is in Elmont, New York. How you doing today, Jim?
Good afternoon, guys. Well, I was just thinking, now picture yourself, Evan. You're 90 years old. You're in a nursing home, right? In a nursing home. The staff is looking for you. Where's Mr. Roberts? I think he's in the rec room. They're going to rec room. You're in a wheelchair holding a hairbrush doing the Rico to a fishbowl. I think you love it so much. You do it because you love to do it. And as a baseball fan, man, oh, man, as a Yankee fan, do I love going on YouTube and joining the 30 or so people listening. It's really a good listen. Now,
jerk.
I'm kidding around. Now, my main thing I'm going to say, plus I love the new Tommy, the Sunshine and Lollipops Tommy. I like the positive Tommy, too. It's another observational article.
Yeah.
But anyway, Soto, I think there's a part of him, you don't think if he goes in the Mets, he'll be the alpha dog. He'll be the main man. He has a chance on the Mets to be the all-time best hitter in the history of the Mets. On the Yankees, his teammate Judge, he won't even...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Make that. And he'll be one of the all-timers. Plus, I don't really believe that there's this gentleman's agreement with Steve Cohen and Hal Steinbrenner.
No, I don't even think that existed with Aaron Judge, but it certainly doesn't exist with Juan Soto. Here's the dangerous thing. Because I think Jim brings up a great kind of like theory. And the theory is, do you want to be the guy or do you want to be one of the guys? Hmm. And that's a great, great question. But I find using that as like a way to sign somebody to be really dangerous. And I want to give you a specific example from the NBA. LaMarcus Aldridge got to free agency and he met with the LA Lakers. And when he met with the LA Lakers, they played like this video with all these actors, Hollywood, and
right.
all these movie opportunities, and, you know, fame and fortune, all that. Then he meets with the San Antonio Spurs, and they just talk basketball. That was it. Pop sat there and said, I'm going to use you like this, 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 this. And he's like, you know, the Lakers really had a chance to sign me, but they screwed up. Like, I didn't care about that other stuff.
Right.
And so when Jim calls up a sports talk radio show and says, hey, doesn't it make sense that this player would want to be the guy? In theory, it does, but you have no idea if that's what he wants, and it would be very dangerous to present it that way. If you are a baseball team trying to sign a free agent like Soto, you make two cases, two very simple cases. Number one, the money, that's obvious.
Right.
Massive, massive offer. The second thing you do is show them how you're going to win and show them how you're going to win often. That's it.
Right.
Those other things, if it matters to him, let him think about it on his own.
I was going to say, figure it out on your own. Because he will, with that much money and that much legacy if you're winning.
Mm.
How about that?
Now, are you that kind of guy? Or are you, you know what? It doesn't matter.
You're really on your way out the door for a couple days off testing me today, huh?
I'm not testing you. I'm asking a question. I brought up Soto being the guy versus one of the guys. So I'm asking you the same question. What would you do? Would you rather be the guy, the Sean Morash show? But I don't know, maybe have less fame? Or would you rather be on Evan and Tiki and have more fame?
Show me the money.
So it's just the money?
Yeah.
Okay.
But if the money's comparable, I don't need.
So if the money's equal, what do? Do you pick the Yankees or the Mets? The Yankees are us in this case. The Mets.
Then I'm Jazz Chisholm. I'm fine being the third big bat in the lineup.
I told everybody the other day, I hope you did a lot of fun stuff with your wife on Sunday or your husband on Sunday or your kids on Sunday, because we are 2 weeks away. In 2 weeks, you're going to do nothing on Sunday. In fact, you're going to spend more time on Sunday with this man who's on the phone with us right now than you ever will with your husband or wife. Who am I talking about? It's a great question. I'm talking about the man who doesn't go to the bathroom. The man who's showing you every freaking touchdown all day long. I'm talking about a guy who's become a legend over the last decade. Scott Hansen of NFL Red Zone. Scott, did you get your rest, buddy?
Evan, Sean, great to be with you guys. My body is ready.
I love it. I love
like,
it.
Like the meme of the with the Hogwarts, wasn't it? Snape or somebody like that had the meme that's all over the internet. My body is ready.
Nice.
My bladder is ready, gentlemen. I'm tanned, rested, ready, ready for a journey to 1,000 touchdowns.
Have you tried? Now, I know you did the Olympic stuff, which was great. Have you tried like sleep as much as possible? Do you game plan the way NFL players do for a long season to prepare yourself for the 18 weeks that you're about to embark on?
Yeah, this will sound like I'm doing this just for effect, but I'm not. I actually, when I do cardio at the gym, I'll be in like literally middle of June or something like this, and I'll be tired. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop this workout. I'm like, no, this is for the witching hour right now. I need to tap into something where, you know, I get a little fatigued, but I need to serve the audience the best and the most enthusiastic broadcast I can. So let's get the heart rate up a little bit more.
So, yeah, I do.
I gear my whole week towards Sunday, just like an NFL player, without obviously all the risks inherent in playing football. But and it's, you got to peak. You got to peak when it's game time.
Do you still get nervous on a Sunday when you get ready to do Red Zone?
Not really nervous. It all depends on my preparation, and I try and over-prepare everything. The average NFL Red Zone Sunday, I'll have 12, 13 games, somewhere in there, 11, 12, 13 games. I do deep dives on every game, every storyline, the injuries, quotes from the locker room that might, you know, be a storyline that we would tell. And I show up to the studio on Sunday morning, and I'm prepared to tell, I try to be prepared to tell every single story, and I might be able to share 10% of those stories. So I over-prepare for everything, and then hopefully I speak with confidence and broadcast with confidence and authority as we do tell the stories that actually unfold, because I'm ready for hopefully anything that comes our way.
If one made a Mount Rushmore of inventions, it is very possible that NFL Red Zone would be on said Mount Rushmore, and it is available for anyone, and I'm sure most people have subscribed and have had it. I've had it for a long time. It's available on NFL Plus premium subscribers, in addition to cable and TV providers. You could check out NFL Plus or go to NFL.com/plus for more information. It obviously all starts in 2 weeks. I'm very curious, and you talked about the prep work that you do, and it's incredible. I try to figure out, are people mostly about their fantasy team? Are they mostly about gambling? Or are they mostly about, I'm a football fan, and I just want to see everything that's going on? When you're doing this, do you try to mix in everybody, or do you think one of those groups is maybe bigger than the other groups in terms of their interest on a football Sunday?
It's a great question. I think there are three main buckets, maybe, or silos of audience members for NFL Red Zone. And they might bleed into each other, because if you're a big fantasy player, you might also be a gambler. If you're a big gambler, you probably play fantasy. If you're, and then the third silo outside of gaming or fantasy is, I call it the PTI-ification of the American sports fan. Everybody thinks they're a know-it-all, right? They know more. I mean, we make our living basically on people thinking, I know more about sports than you do. I know more about football than you do. Well, if you want to be a know-it-all with your friends, colleagues, neighbors, family, whoever, you had better consider all of it, right? You want to have a who's the greatest quarterback in the NFL conversation, or who's the best running back, whatever. You better watch all of it if you want to consider all of it. And NFL Red Zone is your one-stop shop. It gives you everything. So I try and serve all masters, so to speak, while I'm broadcasting. The one thing that might get away from us a little bit is in the gaming side of things. If the number is 9.5 and the game is a 10-point game and the trailing team kicks a field goal and loses by 7 instead of by 10, and that flips the number or flips the outcome, I'm probably not going to show you that.
Right.
And the reason I'm not going to show you that is not because, shying away from gambling. It's I've got a one-score game somewhere in the fourth quarter that actually could make an NFL win a loss, or a loss a win. So I'm not going to show you the meaningless field goal, or quote unquote meaningless field goal, in terms of the NFL outcome that might make your bet flip one way or another. And so I hear from people every once in a while. Thankfully, the complaint line of NFL Red Zone is rather small. People do seem to think like it's the greatest invention and it changes the way they watch football. But occasionally I do hear from people that will say, why didn't you show that field goal? It made it a 7-point loss instead of a 10-point loss. And then the only other negative I hear about Red Zone is this. I think we have spawned, because we've been so successful, we have spawned a generation of wannabe television producers. Everyone thinks they know what game we should be on at any given moment, right? And then they'll let me hear it in social media. And I'm like, gang, if you're watching our channel, you have invited us into your home and handed us your remote control. You've got to trust us that there's no one on earth who wants to show you more football and more great football than I do, than our team does on NFL Red Zone.
Do you ever disagree with your producers? Do you ever say, hey, hold on a second, can we get back to that Ravens game? Like, do you ever kind of say, let's do this?
Yes, very much so. And you know, we try and be respectful and stuff, but we consider ourselves like kind of a mini NFL team ourselves. The offensive coordinator might call a play that the quarterback doesn't like. The head coach might think, what are you doing, offensive coordinator? Why are you doing this? We should be doing this. The running back might say, hey, why not do this, right? And you can respectfully disagree with a number of choices before you. We are making thousands of value-based decisions minute by minute where the values change minute by minute. There's nothing like it on sports TV in terms of a difficult production to do. So reasonable minds can differ as to, I think we should be here. You chose to go to this game. Okay, well, we'll rock and roll with this. Sometimes you will hear me, though. I'm sure you guys have. I'll say it when my microphone is open. Guys, we got to get back to Lambeau Field. Packers are out of the two-minute warning timeout. They're first and goal from the five. A touchdown takes the lead here. And I literally call it out for the control room, for the audience, for the studio. I'm saying we're going to Lambeau Field. But if I do that, I just better dang well sure be I am correct. That's the best place to be.
Scott, you already sound like you're mid-season form. One big debate I know me and my buddies always have is, man, this 1 o'clock slate is completely loaded and there's only two or three games at 4 o'clock. I'm curious from your chair, how do you prefer? Do you prefer an overloaded early slate, or do you think the NFL should kind of give us more taste in the late window and balance it out a little more?
Well, look, you guys are both in broadcasting, and your audience is savvy enough to know that the NFL does stagger the early window, late window with more games early, fewer games late, because they want a pseudo national game.
Right.
They want the Cowboys Chiefs game to be the Jim Nance, Tony Romo game on CBS in the late window, or the Fox A team, like that type of thing. They want a big number there. So they put fewer games in the late window. I like a good, if we have 12 games, a good 8-4 split. 8 early, full octo box. 4 games late, quad box. I think that's pretty fun and gives you pretty good action throughout the day. I think you'll be the first audience I'm telling this to. We had a Zoom with all the NFL executives in the offseason, kind of getting us ready for the regular season. And I was told that the schedule makers particularly brought up NFL Red Zone this year and said, we cannot have any 2-game late windows. So if you look through the schedule, which I've got it not memorized, but I've got it right in front of me, the lowest number we'll have in the late window is 3. And there are many games or many weeks that have 4 games or 5 games in the late window.
That's great.
So they did us a solid there. Yeah. A 2-game late window for Red Zone purposes is death.
Yeah, I'm glad they did that. That's awesome. Yeah. I was looking at the early part of the season. I did notice it was mostly 4 games, sometimes 5. Because you watch everything, I'm very curious your opinion on this. It's a prediction question. I have a prediction question. I am a Jet fan. I'm very giddy about this season, but I'm also very nervous. The giddy part uses my brain and says, my God, they don't have a weakness. This offensive line is going to be good. Breece Hall's a monster. The receiver room, the pass rush, who cares about Hassan Reddick? The secondary. Obviously, the injuries are a concern. As a guy who's seen it all, you've watched everything, do you think the New York Jets will live up to the hype that we have for them here in New York?
I'll tell you this. You tell me how many games Aaron Rodgers plays, and I'll tell you where I think they end up at the end of the NFL season. I think they could win the division if he plays every game this season. I think Buffalo has had the weapons are outgoing in Buffalo. Patriots are clearly in rebuilding mode. Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins speed to burn on offense, but they still have to prove that they can win on the road in the playoffs. Let's say you get the Dolphins in a cold weather matchup. Actually, I don't know the schedule right offhand if the Jets get them up at MetLife late in the season, but I can see the Jets winning the division. You get a home playoff game, and then it's game on. Look, the Chiefs are still the Chiefs. I think the Texans could take a big step forward, which is not a shock to many people. I think the Chargers are going to take a step forward with Harbaugh there, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if Aaron Rodgers turns in assuming he's available to play, he turns in a season with Breece Hall giving an amazing, you know, run support in terms of diversification of the offense. And that defense is salty, and you guys have been talking about this all offseason. That defense is going to be salty. The Jets could make big noise in the AFC playoffs if Rodgers is there.
That's the key, from your lips to God's ears. Well, very excited. Less than 2 weeks, NFL season starts. We'll be all locked in on the NFL Red Zone. It's available on NFL Plus Premium, also your cable or TV provider. Scott will be watching. Thank you very much for coming on.
Great to be with you, Evan, Sean. Enjoy the season. See you on Sundays.
There he is. Care, the Scott. Man you will spend more time with on Sunday afternoons than your wife or husband, Scott Hansen. By the way, I made an NFL bet this morning.
Okay.
You ready for this one?
Okay.
I'm going to reveal it. Then we'll take a very quick break. I promise, very, very quick. We will come back. We'll get into the football moves over the last 24 hours and back to your calls at 888-808-1019. Are you ready for this one?
I'm ready.
It's an outside-the-box one.
Okay.
Got great odds on it. The Washington Commanders to win the NFC East. Let's go.
You're a jackass.
Why am I a jackass?
Because what the audience doesn't know is I told you this in the newsroom yesterday.
When did you tell me this? You told me what? The Commanders are going to win the NFC East? When the hell did you say that?
Evan.
You said that?
Evan, shut up.
You said that?
In the newsroom yesterday.
Maybe that's where I got it from.
We were talking about the Jerry Jones stuff and the Cowboys mess.
Yes, Cowboys are a mess. Eagles,
and
I still don't trust.
Giants, and I said to you, Evan, you know what's a... Quote. You know what's a good bet? Jaden Daniels could win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Washington wins this division.
Wow. The Commanders.
And, said, and I quote, you know, that's not bad. And then you come in here today and tell the audience, I made an outside-the-box bet. Look how smart I am.
I don't know
you
where...
took my bet!
Well, I went to sleep at night. It went through my head. I started thinking about their roster.
And you forgot where you got it from.
And I forgot. It became my idea. I thought about it.
I'm happy you took my bet, but
Thank you.
I'm just going to say the ball's on you.
Well, thank you, Sean. You want to do a little splitsies action?
I already bet it.
Oh, you did too?
Yes.
Well, that's a little weird. You're a Giant fan. You can't make that bet.
No.
You bet against the Mets every night.
That's different. I do that for emotional insurance.
I want to lose the bet. My point is, it was good odds. I sprinkled a little cheese on it. I also bet the Giants to win the division.
So. Okay. Evan and Tiki here on the Fan. Mets back in action tonight against the Diamondbacks. We'll spend time on them and why the math is working against them. The Yankees playing game two of their series against the Washington Nationals. Want to congratulate Andrew in Hamden, Connecticut. He got the baseball IQ trivia question right today, which was name the four teams the Yankees have never faced in the postseason. There's only four teams they have never faced in the postseason. One of which is a team they're playing tonight. So that may have been the easy one, the layup. They never faced the Washington Nationals franchise in the postseason. Never happened. Could have happened in 1994.
Right. Isn't that interesting? It could have been three, if not for a strike.
That's right. Could have been. We'll say. We'll never know. The other teams, the Colorado Rockies, the other two teams are American League teams. They have faced every other National League team in some kind of postseason series, all of them being the World Series except for the Brewers, who they played in a playoff series in 1981. It was the divisional series, the first ever divisional series because of the strike. And then the two American League teams they have never played in the postseason, the Toronto Blue Jays and the Chicago White Sox.
Amazing.
How about that?
Amazing.
How about that?
You would think by happenstance in recent years, the Blue Jays would have run into one with the Yankees.
You would just think by accident.
Right.
Hasn't happened. So, yeah, four teams that the New York Yankees have never faced in the postseason.
How about the fact that they are in the American League with the White Sox, but they've played the Cubs in a World Series?
Yeah.
I mean, not the White Sox.
It was 90 years ago.
Well, it counts.
Yes, it does count. Yes. And so there's your baseball IQ trivia question. A couple of football things to get to. And I mentioned we'll get to the Mets Diamondback series that begins in earnest tonight, and we'll check in on the Yankee lineup. Football point number one. Did anybody get caught in the last 24 hours that jumps out at you as either a surprise or somebody you want for the New York Giants or New York Jets? Because guy gets caught. That's why it's not really final 53 day, because a guy gets caught you like, right. You could put a waiver claim on them, and it changes your 53.
Two guys.
Go ahead. By.
One cut, one non-cut, but looks to be getting shopped. I am interested in Caleb Fairley, failed 2022 first-round corner pick by the Titans.
Yeah, well, you could use a corner.
Giants cornerback situation's terrible.
Yep.
The defensive coordinator in the room, I presume, pounding the table for Fairley was Shane Bowen. So that's his defense, should know his defense. who knows, maybe the Giants aren't good enough a corner to say no. The other guy that is not cut but did not win the number two job is Jameis Winston in Cleveland. They're going with Dorian, whatever, Thompson, DRT, they call him.
That was close.
The Giants
Dorian Finney-Smith.
Right.
I'm just
the Giants were interested in Jameis Winston before they signed Drew Locke. That was reports out there. If Brian Daboll is serious about pushing the ball down the field and serious about, who knows, whether they sit down Daniel Jones with an injury guarantee or if Daniel Jones gets hurt, Jameis Winston is better than both Tommy DeVito and Drew Locke. And I think Jameis Winston would get the most out of having Malik Nabers go down the field and drive down the field. We brought up Mike White yesterday. I'd rather Jameis Winston than Mike White. Go improve the quarterback room. Give me Jameis Winston.
You're so down on Drew Locke.
I think he stinks. He's so bad.
Was it just a preseason game?
No, I said this in the offseason. He stinks.
Oh, okay.
Think about it. Think about everything we think negatively about Daniel Jones. Drew Locke in that draft class, and to this point in his career, has been worse.
Yeah.
So how is that your backup to this situation? Go get me Jameis.
So I saw something that Sean is involved in that I am not that familiar with. This is a very big week. This is the week and early next week where most of us have fantasy drafts. Like, we all play fantasy football. What American doesn't play fantasy football? My fantasy draft is on my anniversary. Shows you how much the league respected me. Sorry, guys. We're doing it Thursday.
Yeah, you ran into a Rico on Christmas Eve. That shouldn't matter.
That's true. No, it's not the same at all. But either way, I'll find a way. I'll be ready for my fantasy draft. My fantasy draft is very normal. It's what I like to call a normal draft.
Mm-hmm.
There are 12 teams. Everybody gets to pick their spot after there's a random drawing. 12-team league, fantasy. We make a regular draft. Then there's auction leagues, which I was involved in a couple of years ago, and I found it intriguing. I found it very different, like completely different than your traditional fantasy draft, but I enjoyed it. I'm not going to say I didn't. Like, it was a very different strategy. You know, players are put up. You got to decide how much you want to bid. There's obviously a salary cap for anyone that's never played it. The third kind of draft that I had never heard of until you brought it up, and I have to admit, I am really, really intrigued. To the point where I may petition my commissioner and try this next year. And I don't know what the name of it is.
I can tell you.
What's the name of it?
Sleeper.
It's a sleeper draft. Do you know what a sleeper draft is, Logie?
Sleeper is the app, and I think it comes from that term.
Well, that's not what it's called then.
Well, the app is called Sleeper, but I think it might be called the Sleeper Draft because they created it.
Well, I have a name for it. It's called the, listen, drafts take a lot of time draft. You know how it works? There's basically a text chain. Let's say Loogie's got the number one overall pick. And Loogie's like, okay, great, I'm going to take Christian McCaffrey. And now I'm up. I have 8 hours to make my pick.
That's right.
I make my pick, then next guy's up. So it's a draft that takes, what, about a week?
We have a week to do it. So I
love it. I think it's the greatest idea ever.
I want to clean up a couple things here.
Go ahead. Yes.
I want to just say every year I get older and the more legalized gambling and player props come out, the less influenced I am to care about fantasy football.
Really?
But part of the reason.
Okay. I've heard that. We talked about that last year, that there are people affected by that.
I
have not found myself affected by it, but okay.
Fine. I'm with you on that, Sean, by the way.
Okay. But a major negative to fantasy football on top of this was, man, every year you get older, Evan, you have kids, your group of buddies gets older. Getting 12 guys to hammer out a two-hour window work schedules, life schedules for a draft, forget about it if you want to do in person. That's a whole nother thing. It is very tough to do, and bless all of you in your fantasy leagues that you're able to do it. This idea presented by my friend Tommy runs, he goes, I found this, it was recommended. I think it's genius.
I think it's genius.
And it has drawn me back in.
Yeah.
You have 1 week to complete the draft. You have 8 hours, like you said, between picks.
Yep.
And it is shut off from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., so no overnight worrying about it. And what I've learned is we are 24 hours into this draft, and the draft is already 5 rounds over.
Yep.
You get a little update, like a text message, it's your turn to pick, or if you want to find out everybody's pick, and that's it.
I love it.
That's it.
I think it's the greatest idea ever. And
Who wants 2 hours away on their Labor Day weekend when you could be at the beach, the pool, doing something else, drafting?
Here, I want to further your point on this, okay? I think head-to-head, I'm sorry, I think in-person drafts are the best,
Okay?
And they're dead. COVID killed the in-person draft. I cannot pull it off in my baseball league, and my football commissioner's given up on it. Like, it just doesn't happen to get 12 guys in a room. Now, Lugie, I know, agrees with me. We both are in simpatico. We want an in-person draft.
Definitely.
It just doesn't happen. You can't get the guys and gals to commit.
I have another group of friends that do it, and they get them to commit, but it is I watch them fight with each other, text message all the time. We're doing it in Long Beach. We're doing it in Fire Island.
Listen, all that stuff, if you could get everybody in the room, I would sign for it. So I want to make that clear. That is still the best way to do a draft.
Right.
But if you can't, and you're sitting there on an app, I'd rather do this. Instead of us being in front of a computer for 2 hours drafting, I say, screw it, go the other way, and draft for a week. So again, ideally, it's in person, but nobody does it anymore.
This is better than the online two-hour draft. Everybody is living their lives.
Yes.
And by the way, a lot of us are still side texting about it and everything like that.
Yes.
And that's it. That's it.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think that's the future of fantasy drafts.
I think it's a genius idea. And again, when I first saw it, I was like, does this make sense? Now that I'm involved in it, it might be drawing me back.
There's only one negative. Can I bring up a negative?
All right.
The injury situations. When you do a draft in 2 hours, the injury situation doesn't change. If you do a draft in a week, a lot can change.
But this has to be the week, though. I think once week three of the preseason's complete, the idea that you're getting some kind of massive injury between now and next Tuesday...
It's unlikely.
Very unlikely.
Okay. What do you think? You like this, Luke?
Hate it. I think it's the worst idea I've ever heard. It's very Gen Z. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Gen Z?
Meaning, like...
What
it's
does
like
that even mean?
Second day in a row somebody's mentioned Gen Z.
The idea that... Look, I know what you're going to say, so I'm already going to disarm you. Yes, Lugauer doesn't have kids. Great, fine. But I still have a life. The idea that you can't carve out an hour, because you could change the amount of time it takes to draft a pick, like 30 seconds, 15 seconds. You could shorten the draft. I love the draft. It's fun. I don't need my phone exploding for a week about people going, well, I don't know what to pick. Leave me alone. I carve out 2 hours. Leave me alone. Bro, talk about like texts. I hate every year where I get 150 text messages where a bunch of people are sitting there going, should we do it this way? Should we do it that way? Leave me alone. Just let me know when the draft is, and we do the draft. I don't want to be bothered for a week. We all remember that.
No, you're not being bothered, dude.
How great is that scene in Knocked Up where she thinks Paul Rudd is cheating on her, and he's at his baseball draft?
Yeah, but that's
Spider-Man,
but that's
too.
That's an in-person draft. That's what Evan's point. So, if you can't pull that off and you have an online draft, dude, your phone isn't blowing up. I'm telling you, this has been flawless.
We need to get the in-draft or in-person dress back. We need to bring that back.
Look, I agree with you. It's impossible.
It's not impossible.
Since COVID, now I'm not saying no one has an in-person draft. There's a lot of people I've heard calling over the years saying they all go to Las Vegas together. They all go to a bar.
Yeah.
Like, it exists. It's very tough. Most people are unable to pull that off. And so let's put that aside. We all agree in person.
Can I just say this, though, Evan?
But it's tough to pull off.
But if George Washington or our founding fathers had that same mentality that it's tough to pull off, I'm not asking you to fly to Venus. You go to someone's house or a bar. You can't have that mentality. Make it happen.
George Washington could win the Revolutionary War on the Sleeper app over the course of a week. Got news for you. He'd pick that, too.
You don't know that old George would feel that way.
Lugie, are you in a fantasy football league this year?
I'm in three.
You're in three.
Ugh.
Are any of them in person?
No, but I'm also...
No! You confirmed it! You're in three of them! None of them are in person because the in-person draft is dead.
Yeah, but this is like... I'm not talking to some girl in Hinge. This is about a draft. You take 3 hours out of your life.
You know because you're coming over. I have a bunch of people coming over Saturday. Evan.
Yeah.
College football, end of summer. I do a big thing Saturday, right?
I must have missed the invite, but okay.
Evan, two breaks ago, I asked you what you were doing this week. You told me you seen your parents on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to be busy.
That was my feeling.
Oh, that was your feeling out?
Yeah.
I think you're full of crap. I think you were just asking what I'm doing with vacation. You had no intention of inviting me.
Now
I know this. I've never been invited anywhere.
And that's why I was going to invite you, but you told me you had plans.
I think that's BS, but continue on.
There are two people that text me back, I can't, man. Sorry, I got my freaking fantasy drift. It's the only day. Who wants to waste time this weekend doing a fantasy draft when you could be living the last weekend of summer? I'm texting on a phone for a week and the draft's working out flawless.
So here's what I would say to that. I will say this. There should be no fantasy drafts Labor Day weekend. Put your kids to sleep. You run the house, not them.
Oh, my God, this guy.
No, I'm being serious. I'm sick of hearing about all my children. Enough of the children.
You don't have children.
But I was a child, and if they had fantasy baseball back then, I'm sure my dad would add a draft. You make the draft 10 o'clock at night. You set it so it's 30 seconds, and you're done by 11. Cry me a river with this crap.
I also don't think, like, those drafts, which I'm going to be involved in on my anniversary. Just don't tell my wife or don't tell the league that maybe somebody else is going to draft for me till I'm ready. Either way, one or the other. Don't tell either party. But an online draft in which, here's your two. It's not the same.
Right.
It's not that good. Like, I like the idea of this. I'm going to pitch it to my commissioner. I think everybody should pitch it to their commissioner.
And not, by the way, not one person's taken the full 8 hours yet. And that's worked too.
What is the average time between pick, you would say? Again, this is all, are there average hours that don't count, by the way?
Yeah, so overnight. I would say, I woke up at 7:10 this morning, and I was like, five people had picked between 7 and 7:10.
Well, hold on. So you cannot pick in the overnight hours?
Yes. 11 to 7, it's frozen.
11 to 7, it's frozen. Right. May not be ideal for some of us that are night owls, but okay.
So it heated up early in the morning. You waited for everybody to wake up. It's lulled this afternoon, but I would say a half an hour.
Every pick's taken about a half hour?
I mean, honestly, some have taken 2 minutes, but I would say on average a half an hour.
I think it's great. All right, we'll come back. We'll take a call or two about it, and then we'll get into the Mets and the Yankee lineup. All right, a lot to do.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.